I love you, my
great Love Talk Radio.
Well,
I'm
on the 110 Nation family own, share their thoughts. It has been a crazy couple of weeks. Unfortunately, we did not get a show in last week. Chad Taylor, he had to use the bathroom a lot. So, I guess that's the
OG
way to explain it. He had to poop. Man, oh man. So well, let's be bringing them in. We're just going to bring you into the studio if you call in. I believe that's Craig, maybe. Craig, is that you? All right, well, there's a 937 plugged in. Well, he doesn't have a hand to pick it up. Anyway, press 1 if you want to come on. All right, Cass, what do you think, man? A hell of a race.
Phoenix is, I hate saying it, but, like, it doesn't bring as much anticipation to, for the actual race entirely, like Homestead does. I think that Phoenix is good for about a handful of laps on each start and restart, and then once things settle out, it's kind of how it is. Stage 2 was probably the high entertaining point in a way because of the fuel mileage towards the end where people are trying to go saving or go full throttle. Or do we pit in the middle of stage two? Do we stay out? And a lot of teams actually stayed out and somehow managed to save fuel.
You know, I was surprised that Logano didn't burn more of the tires down.
Me too.
I about need to burn that shit to the ground.
Probably save the motor too. When you do
like caught them on fire and burn them down. Because that's Ford's like to catch.
What was that, Chris?
You got the engine tear down, so probably didn't want to blow anything.
Yeah, that could be. But listen, I came close to being NASCAR Domus this year. I mean, did you hear what Chastain said earlier in the week, that he didn't know if he would try that move again because he lost his vision for a little while after the race from
doing that last weekend? Right.
So,
how in the hell did we even get here, right? Oh, my gosh. Russ Chastain. I mean, he put up a good fight there. I mean, come on, guys. First subject. Was it or was it not team orders? Come on. Ryan Blaney was closing in on the back bumper of Joey Logano. It, I mean, all of a sudden, Ryan Blaney just isn't fast enough and can't catch up. Was it worth it? If you were a car owner, what would you do in that situation? Is a win worth the championship? Because obviously Chastain was possibly one of the fastest cars out on the racetrack.
He was. He was gaining every lap. So, yeah, I think the orders came down from Roger Penske and told Blaney to back the hell off. And
probably. Yeah,
keep Chastain at bay.
Yeah, because I saw it as Penske either way 1-2, but if Blaney and Logano just battled it out, that gave more gains for Chastain to reel in Logano in. We all know Penske. Penske's in it to win it, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win it. Penske's been in the business for way too long to not lose a championship that's in his hands.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a decent race. I mean, it started off on a bad note with J.D. Gibbs. I mean, I just couldn't imagine. Your son wins the championship. That photo you shared, Chris, was all telling. Like, that was the last photo they have together. As Miss Lee said earlier today in the chat, his first championship will forever be marred by the passing of his father.
In a way, I mean, isn't it almost fitting that Ty Gibbs won the championship in a time where most of the fans are not in favor of Ty Gibbs? Reality and life happens, and now
right. It's
almost like everything happened the way that it did. For a reason.
Right.
It's very dark. I felt like the picture in itself that was shared was a dark photo. They're all dressed in black.
Yeah.
Most of the photos that are being shared around is stitched from that photo. Last night he was doing an interview at the championship table. This morning, he's dead.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's surreal.
Yeah, that's it's really unfortunate. I mean, you to go from the highest of highs for the family and Ty to not even much longer later, you're in the lowest of lows.
How long ago did J.D. Gibbs pass away? That was, what, like 7 years ago, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. It just goes to show you. I mean, that just goes to show you that you never know. I mean, last night at this time, he was celebrating his son's championship. We're getting ready to. And goes to bed and He doesn't wake up. So you should really cherish everybody that that's around you.
And, you know, I felt like kind of, you know, the networks, they had to handle this situation, of course. They didn't want to paint a dark picture. They didn't want to paint a dark cloud over the championship race. This was ultimately Richard Childress's words that this was untimely. It seems to be, you know, regaining its echo from earlier in the season. Just such an untimely situation.
I don't know.
But it is what it is, and the good family's going to have to find a way to pick up the pieces and move on. But, you know, Joey Logano is being celebrated now. He is the champion. Ty Gibbs was the champion crowned last night in the Xfinity Series. Zane Smith was crowned champion.
Man, what a truck ending. What a truck race that was. I was kind of glimpsing at it back and forth, and then I think I turned on the broadcast about just when the last stage started, when it was like, what, 60 laps or something like that? And that was one heck of a battle. I mean, at one point we thought it was Ben Rhodes going to sneak in, and Zane Smith had his share for a bit. Then Chandler Smith started throwing himself into the picture. Ty Majeski later on started coming in, and Ty Majeski, I'm sure right now, is still shooting himself in the foot for what happened. But sometimes when you make some moves to go after a championship, sometimes it's going to hurt you or sometimes it's going to pay off. And unfortunately for Majeski, it just did not pay off.
Well, but worst case scenario, he finished fourth. I mean, the kid had a stellar season. I mean, he didn't win except for twice in the chase, if memory serves me right.
You are.
So, I mean, he did it on pure, strong finishes all season long up until the last two rounds. And then, you know, it's kind of like Bell. He came off the bench and got two key wins to get into the final four. I mean, you can't that would be a Cinderella season in and of itself.
Think about great point with Christopher Bell, and think about where this began earlier in the season when the two JGR slackers of the organization was Bubba Wallace and Christopher Bell. Slight pit crew change, and you know Christopher Bell obviously has a characteristic of Kevin Harvick in his blood because he's definitely risen to the occasion at the most important times. Unfortunately, things just did not work out for him to win the championship. But he's had overall a great season.
Right. He can't complain about his season. I mean, like you said, Chris, he was not the star of JGR at all. You know, the talks all season were on what's Kyle Busch going to do, what's Kyle Busch going to do, what's Kyle Busch going to do every friggin' week. It sounded like a broken record. I mean, hell, we were talking about it every week. It was good to see that Chase Elliott got spun. I don't know who spun him. But, you know, take out the entitled one, and it just made for an even better finale. I was waiting, though, I will admit, I was waiting for NASCAR's mysterious caution to come out with three to go. I thought for sure we'd see a caution flag. And the announcers... What's that?
A fun caution.
Yeah, I thought for sure that there'd be a caution. And I said to Teresa's mother, I said, NASCAR should be getting ready to throw a pretend caution right now. And she was like, yeah, I'm waiting for it. And it never came. And then the announcers on TV, I think Dale Jr. said, yeah, he says, that what Chris, what Logano don't want to see right now is another caution.
Yeah, they never did that with the Xfinity race last night either. I mean, the Majeski deal, unfortunately, was that late yellow for the truck series that forced overtime, but Xfinity didn't have that deal either. When Gregson was starting to close in, and Gregson just got outran.
Yeah, so, I mean.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, you don't want him to end under mysterious circumstances, which, you know, I'm glad to see that, you know, Xfinity and Cup, especially Cup, didn't end that way. You know, for the sheer fact that it brings more drama. It brings more drama, and then everybody would have been saying it was because Logano was winning that NASCAR threw a caution. So, but
now this comes down to, now we got Champions Crown. We're now going to start going into the off season. We're seeing Reddick move over to 2311. Bubba goes back to the 23 car. Kyle Busch, end of an era after today with JGR, M&Ms, and Toyota, to now he's back with Chevy and heading to RCR. And we're now going to be entering another era of Petty teaming with another seven-time champ as the news broke out this past weekend.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson going to be not only part owner, but also going to be driver for select races for Petty GMS starting at the Daytona 500. So, and also, I want to bring up, how fitting is it for the 2022 season, the 22 of Joey Logano wins the first race of the season at the Clash and ends the season with the win in the championship at Phoenix?
Yeah, no, it just, it does. Go ahead, Chris.
No, Ford dominated both Phoenix races, and that's something to show for. And Ford had their eggs in the right basket heading into the final race of the season.
I thought, and of course, unfortunately for Brad Keselowski, as we're talking about Ford successes at this track, well, at certain tracks this year, but it also sucks for what happened to Brad. And I don't know if you guys saw it on the broadcast, but they were saying how a lot of the cars that caught on fire this year came from Fords or having rubber issues.
Yeah, but I don't think I counted a single Penske Ford this year that had that issue.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can necessarily. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, Taz, you probably got the stat right in front of you, but and I didn't catch what Chris said. I was switching, pulled the phone away off of mute. Was it all Fords? Are we 100% sure of that?
I don't think it was all Fords, but they mentioned that a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them came from Fords.
Well, like three of them were Kevin Harvick. I've seen an interesting stat today. Kevin Harvick has not missed a race in 20 seasons. I mean, if that stat is true, that's a hell of a run.
Oh, there was something I saw of a stat with Harvick. Something about he saw or today marked him joining like an elite group of racers for running the most consecutive cup races. And, like, oh, right here it is. Kevin Harvick becomes the seventh driver in history to start every NASCAR Cup Series race for 20 consecutive seasons. In that list is Dale Earnhardt, Rusty Wallace, Terry Labonte, Ricky Rudd, Jeff Gordon, and I believe the last one was Bobby Labonte, if I'm looking at this picture correctly.
Wow. Yeah, then it's the same thing you and I were looking at. Chris, why don't you share the stat you just shared in race in the 110 set? Chris just shared a stat. It said the average age of the top four, Logano, Chastain, Elliott, and Bell, the average age is 28.5. This makes them the youngest top four in points in the history of the Cup Series and the first top four in points to have an average age of less than 30 years old since 1950. So 72
wow.
years between that feat, if you will.
That's cool.
So.
Definitely yes, put things in perspective that NASCAR has gone to the younger generation. If you just want to put them together, you know, Chase, but he's in his seventh year. Christopher Bell's in his third year. Ross Chastain is in his third full-time season. And Joey Logano, I believe, in his 10th season. So we're definitely seeing the younger guns showing up now in the championship form. It's only going to get younger, right? We're seeing these guys in Cup rides at 20 years old now. So
yep.
That number will, in a few years, be like, it'll be well surpassed. The younger generation of drivers are on their way to the top.
You know, I was listening to Ross Chastain earlier this week, or late last week, I should say. And he said that, you know, just 2 years ago, he was running a Spire Motorsports car, and they were trying ever so hard to get into race, to make races. 2 years, fast forward 2 years, he's a champion. He's a championship contender. He says it doesn't even feel real. Well, buddy, I'm here to tell you that it's real. And it's
right.
You put on a hell of a show this year. And I'm glad to see that Denny didn't retaliate. Matter of fact, he gave him props for last week's race. You know, nobody really retaliated. I wonder if that was an edict from NASCAR, listen, let these four guys race and don't do anything stupid to ruin the championship for either any of these guys, or if they were all trepidatious about what happened to Bubba, that since they didn't know what would happen to them, would they get fined, suspended, or lose points going into the new year? So, you know, maybe that fine on Bubba Wallace, or that suspension for Bubba Wallace, maybe that, maybe that weighed heavy on a lot of drivers' minds.
Not to dismantle your point, and definitely not to bring up some past with Ty Gibbs, but, man, we just seen a couple weeks ago, last weekend, where Ty Gibbs basically punted his teammate in the wall to win that race. I don't think drivers feel handicapped at all.
No, and I love what Noah Gragson said. He was the only one. He said, I'm the only one to say it. He says, because I'm the only one brave enough to say it. I don't like Ty Gibbs, and not many drivers do. I just am the one more vocal about it. I don't like the way he races. I don't like his cockiness. I mean, his pose in Victory Lane last night that they let off NASCAR.com with this morning when I seen it, it was almost Kyle Busch-ish. Like, yeah, bring it on. And, I mean, well-deserved. He had a hell of a season.
I think also Gregson, in a sense, he doesn't care anymore because he's no longer in the – well, I don't really want to say no longer in the Xfinity Series because who knows, who could be – he could be running a few races next year. But for as far as we know of, he's not in the Xfinity Series next year. Ty Gibbs, as far as we know of, is possibly staying. So he's just kind of given his little fashion 2 cents.
Yeah. I mean, I think, going back to last week, I think that he's definitely got a receipt from Jones coming. But Jones is going to save that for when he needs it most. If Ty Gibbs doesn't move to the 18, which I think that's what's going to happen. But
yeah, I mean, you know, that rivalry will never be. And that's probably why Ty dumped him. You know, you're a career lifelong Xfinity driver, and I'm out to, you know, keep my grandfather's organization prominent over the next 20 years. Ty Gibbs felt like he did what he needed to do. I don't think anybody in the garage or any of the fans very well like what he did, but Ty Gibbs will have fans. And look, this in itself creates people who are less hard on him. And I'm trying to be less hard on Ty Gibbs tonight, being that, you know, he's had to wake up today experiencing the loss of a parent, which is one of the single most devastating feelings and things that you have to go through in life. There's only a couple of things that can even relate to losing a parent. So, I think that this will kind of put Ty back on a fresh slate. And where he goes from here, the death of Coy Gibbs, you know, J.D. Gibbs was the original son of Joe Gibbs that was going to take over the Joe Gibbs operation once Joe decided to step out. Then Coy, of course, stepped up to that position after the passing of J.D. Gibbs. Where Joe Gibbs Racing goes from here is a major question mark. Not that the stability of the franchise or anything like the organization, but more like the, you know, and I've got to be careful when I compare the two. Think about the DEI situation, where the company stood the next day. You know, their leader, so to speak, to share comparison, you know, was gone in the blink of an eye. And so there wasn't a plan. There wasn't a plan of if this happens, where do we go from here? I feel like Joe Gibbs is going to be in a similar situation. Where does Joe Gibbs Racing go from here? Max Siegel wound up in a position of control at DEI because of the passing of Dale Earnhardt. Who takes over Joe Gibbs from here? Does Joe step back in? Does he bring in, does the wife take control of J.D. Gibbs' wife? Where does Joe Gibbs Racing go from here? If you guys want to add your thoughts on that, I'm here to listen.
I don't know. I kind of think that I was thinking the same thing, and I think if the contract with Kyle Busch had not gone the way that it did, I could have almost foreseen Kyle Busch taking over day-to-day operations or something to that effect of Joe Gibbs Racing because he had been he's been there for so long. But now that he's gone, it kind of leaves the door wide open. It would almost, I would almost think it'd be J.D. Gibbs' wife, widow, or Coy Gibbs' widow.
Yeah.
You know, or Joe Gibbs' wife, which I don't really think they're about, they're probably, I think they're in the same age bracket, so I don't really think that that would be,
Well, it's not uncommon for organizations. Petty Enterprise was run for years by Robbie Lomas. They were also run, what was the guy's name? Well, he eventually became director of NASCAR. I'm trying to think of his name. Anyway, we've seen, Andy Petrie is basically, he runs the day-to-day operations at Richard Childress Racing. What's so heartbreaking about this ordeal is Joe Gibbs was just on the other day speaking about how his whole family was involved in the organization and where they go from here. Of course, I don't know if you guys knew. I didn't know that one of the pit crew members on Christopher Bell's team is, a nephew of Joe Gibbs. So obviously the family is spread out all amongst the company. Where does this company go from here, Taz?
I just think Gibbs entirely has racing in their blood with what you pretty much just mentioned there, Chris. Not sure where the team or the family goes from here. Obviously, Ty's going to be moving up in Cup. If it ain't next year, it's going to be the year after. Obviously there could be a little bit of favoritism on the Christopher Bell side of things, being that there's family relations there. But at least
family,
I can say
relations.
One thing is that Joe Gibbs is family driven.
Right. So Christopher Bell is related to Joe Gibbs in some fashion?
In a way, if you want to put it that in that sense.
Well, you just said that, Taz.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to figure this out. Christopher Bell has what relation is Christopher Bell related to the Joe Gibbs organization?
He's got one of Joe Gibbs' pit crew members, or one of the pit crew members is related.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's okay. I was thinking, more on that that Christopher Bell was related. See, I've always wondered where Christopher Bell came from, and how his family got him there. And actually, an article was written today, and I did not read it yet, but obviously his parents put him into a go-kart or something of the sort at 5 years old, and he really didn't want to do it. But I'll go back and dig up that article and share it to the Race Chat Live Facebook page. A lot of questions. Such a great season, y'all. Such a great race season. After coming out of the dumps for the last 2 years of this COVID-19, when we were doing shows talking about racing and we didn't even have any racing, like that was, you just come off of, we're coming off the one of the best racing seasons in my lifetime, and I'm pretty sure it's in Craig's lifetime as well, and Taz, well, you barely even, I think you were still in diapers when Dale Earnhardt died, so, am I right about that?
No,
were,
I was about
like,
5 years
about
old.
Four? Five.
Well, yeah,
wow,
you were
just
out of diapers. You were still.
Yeah, he still had Similac behind his ears.
Yeah,
so,
he
I
still
mean,
had Similac behind his ears and sucking on Mommy's titty.
I don't know in recent memory if we've had a better year than this year. Can you? I mean, guys, has this not just been the best NASCAR season in memory?
No, it has been, and I think a lot of it is the suspense that goes on and the issues that NASCAR had with rolling out a new car, drivers being in favor of it at first, and then when it started to have major problems, everybody badmouthed it like the bully on the street, to Cinderella stories like Ross Chastain and things like that. A lot of things.
Craig, sorry, I was just reading. 2 weeks ago, I was begging that we trash the Chase, and then we saw the greatest racing move of all time. And it forever sealed the deal that this Chase is exciting, and it doesn't need to be changed, and it doesn't need to be cut out. And though we were so bored with it, and it was so confusing because we've had so many winners this year, it all played out perfect. The guy who won the very first race of the season just was crowned champion for the 2022 race season. And we've gone through so much to get here.
Yeah, no, we all trashed it. Miss Lee has a point. She said there's a lot of opinions, I guess, on Twitter and Instagram. We'll have to have our other Twitter expert verify, but I'm sure it's right because Miss Lee would not tell us a fib. She said lots of opinions leaning to wanting championship to go back to Homestead because of the boring racing at Phoenix. I said, I agree it needs to come out of Arizona and go back to Florida, but not Miami. I'd like to see it go back to Daytona.
I was just going to put in the group, Craig, I'm not for that Daytona idea, but...
Okay, you don't have to be.
I think that's fine. Well, I was just saying. But I think that's not a bad idea, but I think to benefit everyone across the country for the East Coast and in the West Coast, they need to find a good track to run on for the championship that's kind of more like in the central part of the U.S. That way there,
where would you like to go, Kansas?
I would like Chicagoland if that were to be a track again.
You know that's not going to happen. They're going to have Uzis and AK-47s and all that to run the street course, right?
It's not the street course.
Yeah, remember,
yeah,
we have to be in warm weather venues.
No, it has to be in a warm weather venue. It has to be. Remember a couple of years ago when, what was that, 5-6 years ago, when they moved Watkins Glen to, like, November?
Or we could do Nashville Fairgrounds.
As long as the temperature is above 75.
The new auto club.
Yeah. Hell, take it to Pocono if you want to be in the East Coast. No, I'm just kidding. It's cold there.
Exactly. But NASCAR did announce that they could have a revolving chase schedule as quickly as the 2024 race season.
And I think they should. I think they should change it up. But that's my opinion. You know, we ended it, Phoenix. It's just like you took out the championship awards banquet out of New York City and brought it to, where was it, Nashville 1 year, and then it was in Charlotte. It's in Charlotte, is it not?
For, what is it, the All-Star Race?
No, the Cup Awards Banquet.
Awards Banquet.
Oh, yeah, it was. I think it was Charlotte, then Nash. Either way, it was that somewhere down that way.
Yeah, and then they had it out in Vegas. Bring it back to New York City. Bring it back to the Waldorf Astoria. But no, congratulations
to
all three champions.
I'd like to see I'd like to see the series end in Vegas.
Yeah.
Better yet, put him at a slinger.
Heck yeah. Are we talking about the SRX series? The Senior Racing Tour series?
Well, it's true. Hey, listen, real quick, before I forget, huge kudos to the fat man, Tony Stewart. He almost picked up his first championship in straight line racing last weekend, I believe. So kudos to the fat man going straight.
Smoke.
He almost smoked him.
I mean, he's got that force-driven power behind him now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's not using force. They're all outside watching football.
Well, here we are. The end of the season. We've had a lot to talk about all year long. We've made a lot of predictions. We have crowned a champion amongst our own.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations to Miss Lee.
Yeah, we are champions this year. Chris took the SRX championship earlier in the year.
Yeah, he took the Senior Racing Experience League. That's
then,
awesome.
Then for the truck side, Craig nabbed me by 4 points. On the Xfinity side, Miss Lee is the champion there. Craig and I somehow swapped second and third in the Xfinity there at the last race. I didn't think I had enough to get by him, but whatever.
That's because you put that Viagra. I didn't really need to.
Cup side, it's official that we have Mr. CJ be the champion on the cup side.
Wow.
But oh, wow.
He got Miss Lee by a mere 19 points on the cup side.
Wow. That guy's strategy and all year long was literally, I picked Kyle Busch. How in the hell did he become the champion?
I demand a recount. I live in the state of Florida where the hanging chads were all the rage 22 years ago tomorrow.
And I know this. Are we in the 2020 election?
No, 2000 election. In 2000, you were mere what, 5 years old, Dad?
2000? Four.
Okay, yeah, you were still Similac behind the ears. You were still hanging on mommy's bowstrings.
Is that two Tasmanian devil is a baby jokes in the same show? I mean, give the guy a break.
Well, I'm trying, but Alana's chiming in, too. I'll be done in about 2 minutes.
I'm supposed to get a break. Not just that one.
I'll be done in 2 minutes.
But our overall pick champion is, well, the final breakdown is Chris in last, unfortunately. We're not going to break down how many far points back he was.
So far back, nobody gives a shit.
I had third by 10 points before the cup race, and after the two stages, I gained a couple points out of that. In stage three, where everything counted, Larson could not get by Jason's pick of Kyle Busch for me to stay in that spot. And I lost the third by 3 points. So Craig gets the bronze, Jason with the silver, and Miss Lee gets the gold.
Wow. How many did Miss Lee win by?
Oh, boy. Hold on a second here.
This is overall, right?
31 points. difference. Jason only gained, and now remember, Jason, before this weekend started, he was 61 points behind with a very slim chance of holding on. And he gained some points, a lot of points, after the truck race went from 60-something to about, or he went from 61 to about 40-something. Still very slightly hanging on. In the Xfinity Series, he gained points, but not enough to give himself a chance. So Miss Lee today had a nice little breath of relief.
sweet breath of relief. I tell you what, man, 31 points out after all year long. We'll do some tweaking on the rule package, and all in all, man, what an exciting year, even with our picks. I felt like all year long, if I picked the driver, he was going to wreck. But I know at the end I did capitalize on a whole lot of actual prediction picks. So, all in all, I felt even though I finished last, I think I probably picked more true winners this time than I ever have in all the years of doing this. And so even if I did show up last, I still felt like it wasn't a lack of effort.
Yeah, we did pretty well. We had struggling points, obviously, and it looked like start of the season, it looked like I was gonna take the prize money and run away with it, like I did last year towards the end. But unfortunately, sometimes, like they say in racing, at times, good luck. You keep running with it until you run out. And sometimes when you run out of that good luck, it comes back to bite you.
Guys, what was the biggest headline of 2022? If you could write one storyline, one headline for this past year,
Hail Melon
started you, Taz, what would that storyline headline be?
Hail Melon. In just Martinsville either. I'm talking Coda as well.
Ross Chastain, I don't give a fuck to her. As Taylor's. Taz?
That's pretty much it. I mean, shoot. Chastain doing what he needed to do and get himself in the final four after Martinsville. And Coda, when he was looking for, I think it was second win of the season at that time, he kind of, in a way played a Hail Melon, not a wall riding instance at that point, but kind of pulled one out and scored the win.
I felt like Taz Taylor may have taken Craig Moore's fast response. Craig, do I need to give you a little bit more time to rethink so we can bring something besides Ross Chastain to the table? What is the storyline, what is the headline that you would write today about the 2022 race season, Craig Moore? That's about right.
Oh, I do have one more headline. I do have one more headline after. Oh, Craig is out. I do have one more headline.
Yes.
I do have one more headline. And we hit on this the last few weeks, too. The headline is playoff system exposed.
Yeah, but in the end, it all worked itself out, and that's what we want the playoffs to do. Like, yes, it was exposed. It was shown to have flaws. But in the end, in the final picture,
the guy who won the very race of the season, who had multiple wins, all at places that were not the usual suspects, becomes the champion at the end of the year. I'm not going to be so quick to want to ditch what I've seen from Martinsville, man. What could be the greatest playoff race ever in the history of racing, along with the greatest move ever in racing history? It will surpass the great pass in the grass. It's the melon wall run.
Oh, I got to read off nicknames Bob Pockers had for Ross Chastain after his wall riding. He had, let's see, the Wall Ross, the Thump and Run, Melon Man Magic, the Hall in the Wall, and the Ross's Boss.
Wow. All right. I was just now catching up on the message board there, so we are waiting on Craig Moore to come back. Okay, my headline of 2022 right now is change is good. Change is good. We had multiple places that we went to, multiple venues that we went to, starting out with the first race of the season, okay? We returned to St. Louis in the Cup venue. I thought that was great. What was the other place that we debuted at this year? Come on. Help me out, Taz. Okay, the car.
What was it?
Let's go to the car real quick. The car was changed. Changed.
Yeah, car drastically changed from last year to this year.
Right.
As Kevin Harvick noted, a lot literally changed. Like, just about everything changed. It was just a matter of getting used to the car. Now you have a fifth gear. Drivers were used to not shifting in places that they need to shift. All of a sudden had to shift in those spots this year. Trying to think what else there was. The cars were more equaled out to see some of these lower teams try to, you know, run with the big dogs.
That was a change, right? With the multiple winners. 17 different winners?
Something like that, yeah. 17 or 18. But you got that going there. Obviously, the car not being as safe as we all thought it was as well.
Safety, yeah, there's been an issue in safety. That's been a change, right? We're not used to that.
Beginning of the year, tires were the biggest problem.
Tires. The tires were changed. Very well. Very good. Very good. Yep. How about the change of team? Kyle Busch leaving Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yeah.
Tyler Reddick. Leaving
Kyle Busch,
RCR. That literally the Tyler Reddick move set all this in motion with Kyle Busch going to RCR. I don't think that RCR would even have been interested in Kyle Busch had he not got his feelings hurt with Tyler Reddick.
Trying to think what else we can throw in.
Also,
the late announcement of the return of Jimmy Johnson.
Wow. How did that under so many headlines, Taz? I mean, that should have been top headlines everywhere. And for some reason, I feel that it's not – they just have not showed it much attention.
And, well, the funny part is that there's a rumor – going around that I guess Johnson has had talks with Hendrick. There's a rumor, not sure how true this is, but I wouldn't be surprised if this happens, Hendrick may let Johnson take that 48 number, which means Bowman could change numbers, which people are speculating either 25. They want to see Hendrick run the fifth. They want to see Bowman run 55 because of his sprint car.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's fair for Bowman to have to continue to change numbers either. I think that that's a Hendrick number, and it was significant enough to Hendrick to keep even after Jimmy Johnson was gone, because I thought that would be the correct time to change that number, being that that was your seven-time Cup champion.
I mean, they could have changed the 24 after Gordon left, but they kept it.
See, a lot of disrespect coming from this whole ordeal with Hendrick and Jimmy Johnson, and I feel like Jimmy Johnson has found his way back in and will be in full effort to make sure that Petty GMS is ready next season. This is a great buy-in. This is as big a news as Keselowski, and I'm not sure that it has the fire lit up underneath it, and I think it's because everybody's questioning, where does this land with Hendrick? Like, this is going to expose the fact that Hendrick and Jimmy Johnson separated. They divorced. It was a divorce. It was not a mutual agreement. This was something that was swept under the rug. Jimmy needed to retire, but Jimmy didn't retire, and now Jimmy's back. And Jimmy wants his ride. And so Jimmy has now gone to the outer links to get his ride, including bringing in a major sponsor to NASCAR in Carvana, who, may I add, has had some sketchy quarterly reports over the last year since the end of COVID. Their stability as a company made me in question. So, I mean, I just need to put...
But Ms. Lee mentioned a good point here. J.J. Petty could be a force to be reckoned with next year. You got two seven-time champions in the sport that will show two young drivers the way. Obviously, Johnson will be driving a part-time schedule next year, but you got Eric Jones, who had great success this year. Probably didn't finish where he wanted to, or where he could have been. But you got that. You got Gregson coming in now, and obviously Gregson with his part-time schedule with Colleague in the Cup Series is he had good spotlights at certain tracks.
Yeah, Eric Jones had a great season. Petty GMS was definitely moving already in the right direction before the addition of Jimmy Johnson. I think that that's only going to add to the structure, to the internal group there at that organization. Also, I cannot go tonight without adding the fact that once again, another race and another AJ Allmendinger top 10. I mean, this guy... in a Colleague race car that I would have ranked bottom of our power rankings, over the last races that AJ Allmendinger's had to fill in the 16 car, man, he has really blossomed, and I am excited as all to see AJ Allmendinger get his return to the Cup Series in 2023. I think he's going to be a valuable threat, not just at road courses, Taz Taylor, but at several other racetracks as well. I really feel AJ will take Colleague Racing into the playoffs next year. Who knows, maybe even deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I could see Colleague being a contender with Dinger coming in. But this could also improve Justin Haley, too. Because we all knew Colleague had to do something if they're going to invest in Justin Haley long-term. And obviously Haley, I understand this is kind of like his first like full year. and whatnot, but he essentially essentially Justin Haley, I just think there was times where he was all right, and maybe in times where the inexperience showed, which I'm surprised. It's surprising for me to say that, being that he, in the last 2 years, granted, last year he ran a good part of the Cup schedule with Spire Motorsports. But obviously the next gen car could be the growing pains. That could have been the reason why SHR struggled, maybe. But who knows? A lot of different things.
Well, I guess we're not going to have Craig returning back to the show. That is unfortunate. Not sure. I mean, it's about time to say our goodbyes, man. And here we are once again, wondering where one of our co-hosts are. I just want to thank you guys for toughing it out throughout this season, being here on Tuesday night with conversation. And this is really just about a group of people that love racing and love talking about racing. It's really nothing more than that. We're not famous. We're not anything important when it comes to the media world. They don't even know who we are. But I have a sense of enjoyment every Tuesday night and throughout the week being able to share my thoughts with friends and with company. And I just really want everybody here to know how much I value that friendship. And I'm looking forward to the future. I know that we have made quite a few changes this year, that a lot of them worked, some of them didn't. We're going to probably do that again next year. We're going to change, too. We're going to make things better. I hope that everybody sticks around to fulfill that vision. I know Ms. Lee, you suffered great loss this year, and my heart is still broken as you had to go through that. I hope in every way, form, and fashion that we helped you find some stability, some moments to just be relieved of all that you've been going through. I hope that we've created laughter in your life when it was hard to laugh. Jason, I know you don't listen much. I know you're not much part of the show, but man, you know, it's you that brought me here almost 10 years ago and put together a group of guys that love the hell out of talking racing and joining, being a part of this group, being a part of this effort, whether it be with the 110 or the Race Chat Live or even the Southern Dirt Track Report. All those things are possible because of the sacrifices that you've made, Jason, and I appreciate that. Taz, man, I don't know, man. I don't know if we'd be a show without you, Taz. I really don't. You're a very, very important piece to all this, and I've enjoyed getting to know you over the – I don't even know how the hell you even showed up. I mean, I know that we did a show before Taz Taylor was here, but I don't even know how in the hell Craig and I made it through any shows before you were here. I think you were brought into this fold as kind of a backup plan to Craig when he was out with his heart surgery. I don't even know how long ago that was. But Taz, you've been a great asset, and you've been a great. You've been more than just a fill-in, friend. You've been a backbone to this effort every Tuesday night at Race Chat Live, and I hope that you feel as much ownership in this as the rest of us.
Because it is your show too. It's just as much yours as it is mine and Craig's, and I just want to thank you for being a dad and a co-host. And I know you're squeezing in having to be a husband and you know a job, and still you don't complain. And with that, I'm forever grateful. I'm going to turn it over to you, Taz.
All right, well, thank you to everyone listening in all year long, from way back in February, could be late January too. Appreciate everyone in the 110 crew that's made the show what it is, Jason, for giving us a chance to do this, or give us an outlet to do this. Miss Lee, too. With her production manager position and giving us critiques every single week in and week out. Appreciate you, Chris and Craig, for being co-hosts and nice to throw some laughs. And even when things seem to get heated, we still manage to work things out and we made things work.
We have a show of big opinions. We have a show of big opinions. Sometimes we do not agree with those opinions. And we all have personal lives outside of this hobby that we do. And sometimes those things in our personal life are more important than the hobby. And that is just the way that it is. And one thing that I think that we all feel with each other is we understand that's the rules, right? We understand that there is life outside this hobby. We understand that we may be strong in our opinion, but we still want to make sure that the guy sitting across from us is welcome to theirs as well. And I feel like we may play with that line. We may poke at that line every now and then, but in the end, we all do understand that that's how we operate here. And I think that that's created a great friendship and a relationship with every single one of us, from the guy who pays the bills every month to our executive producer, Miss Lee, to our friends and co-hosts, me, you, and Craig Moore.
Well, it's been a fun show all year round, and can't have a good show without all the pieces to make it together and work. And, of course, you can't have a strong team to make things be successful and whatnot. When one of us falls, somebody's, you know, got to help pick up the pieces, and that's what we've done here in the 110 Nation.
We're not going to disappear for the wintertime, though we may be at distance at times, but most of what we feel like we need to share and thought will be shared through our Facebook page. I'm sure it will be a little bit more active in the wintertime as we try to keep our fans engaged with the topics that are related to NASCAR and racing as we go through the off season. Of course, there's still racing ahead of us. There's plenty of dirt track racing ahead of us. That's why you need a subscription to Flow Racing, though they didn't pay me to say that. I'm definitely a Flow Racing subscriber, and I want you to be able to enjoy racing just like I do. So if you are just as heartbroken that the race season has ended today, fear not, no more. Subscribe to Flow Racing. Pay the $150 before they go up in subscription prices. And get ready for the Chili Bowl. Get ready for these last Lucas Oil races of the year. Get ready for the Dirt Nationals. I don't know if that's going to be on Flow Racing.
You got the Gateway Dirt Nationals coming up at next month. You also have what's going to be coming up this week, Chris, the Short Track Super Series Cajun Swing.
Cajun,
the end of the season.
The Cajun Swing. Here we go, baby.
End of the year for the Short Track Super Series, as not this past weekend, but the weekend before, they wrapped things up here in the Northeast End, and in terms of points-wise, and now this week it's basically a fun little speed weeks of the Northeast and Louisiana, Texas crew joining forces to have a good old time for five nights of racing at three different tracks.
Amazing, man. But yeah, the year's not going to stop. We'll be at the Ice Bowl before you know it. That's, of course, the weekend after it's either on the 1st of January or it's the very first weekend after the 1st of January. That's the Ice Bowl at Talladega Short Track. So, no, there really is no season into the race season. It just switches over to different types of racing. Of course, Formula One still has a couple of races left for their season as well. So, just, you know, we'll keep you guys in touch. And as we make our plans for the 2023 season, we'll keep you guys informed as well through our Facebook page. But all in all, man, just a great partnership here. We love y'all. I wish Craig would have been on for this final segment here so we could get his thoughts. But I hope that he has a great off season and looking forward to him rejoining us. I believe as well next season what I really want to do is I want to tap into some of these gurus on Facebook and some of these that do the things that we do. I want to tap into some of these people that have podcasts and that you know, just they're not the mainstream people. But I've always had a partnership with Fan for Racing with the group over there, and I try to do a few shows with them every year. They kind of help and giving us a little bit of free exposure. So if we can next year be one of my wish lists to further that along and get more people involved. We've been able to, here at the 110 Nation, we've been able to find people all across the United States. Some have not worked for very long. Some have, of course, passed away. But we always seem to find somebody that wants to talk about racing. And I want to be searching for that next great conversation in the 2023 race. Is there anything that you look forward to for next year's pass?
My biggest thing is, you know me, Chris, if you haven't heard by my excitement, honestly, from what I said earlier, Johnson returning. I thought we've seen the end of Johnson in NASCAR, but hey, we're seeing the return of it, and I'm excited for it. Bring it on.
Yeah, me too. Bring it on, baby, in the number 44. I want to see it. All right. Well, here it is. We are at the conclusion of our race season. We're at the conclusion of our podcast season. Thank you so very much for being a part of the 110 Nation, the Race Chat Live group. I'm going to give it to you one more time. Taz Taylor, close out the show for us before we hit that jingle.
All righty. We want to thank you all, everyone, for listening in to Race Chat Live here on a Championship Sunday post-race reaction kind of night. We want to thank you all for listening in all year long, and we're excited to get things rolling back once again in 2023. And with that being said, you can catch us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, RSS Feed, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, GeoSaving, Podcast Addict, Deezer, Podchaser, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Podpage.com. Of course, thank you to our sponsors that make the 110 Nation roll, Phoenix Fitness, Bears, Bullish Market Talk Group, and Carolina Sports Plus. Thank you all so much for a great 2022 season. We'll see you all in 2023. And this has been, for the final time this year, Big Caution Flag Racing Radio, Chris Creighton, the DJ Music Man, Craig Moore, on the Tasmanian Double Flaggers, Taz Taylor, saying good night. We'll see y'all the same bat time, same bat place next year. Good night, everyone.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for GM Performance Technology and the R07 engines. Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa. My two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray and bless the drivers that use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, planting the hill. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just a good old boy, wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood.
Yeah, she got her ass beat pissing on my carpet. Yeah, she needs to be thrown out. Mm-hmm.